Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my joyful wife and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford, who will be speaking in a minute. But first, let's ask God for his blessing on tonight's program and also for our listeners. Jehovah Jireh, we thank you for your many provisions and recognize the importance of the soon coming days of introspection leading to your fall set of appointments. We adore you and ask that you hear the prayers of your saints, especially those suffering from severe illnesses. You alone are the real healer and the carrier of all our burdens. You are the Alpha and the Tau. Bless the teaching tonight, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. And thanks for tuning in. So, I guess I should say thanks for clicking on.
Yeah, so true.
Since next week begins the season of Teshuvah, let's ask the same question we asked last week, just in case you missed the program.
Is your life and your home completely in order and your relationships exactly as God would have them?
And should you be repenting for not spending enough time with Jesus in his word?
Absolutely.
So, if we are speaking to you, an important biblical season is coming that emphasizes your advancement in these areas. It's part of the seminar teaching on Hebraic Roots 101 that I have taught for many years now.
Yep, about 25, I think.
Mm-hmm. But it never gets out of date, and that I can tell you.
But first, the little news update, like, you know, what that tragedy happened in Virginia.
That was sad. But I believe definitely infiltrated by at least two George Soros-funded groups to once again cause chaos, and in this case, deaths, to include two policemen in their helicopters, most likely shot down. Soros' puppets gave him a great present on his 87th birthday. There were the white supremacists to protest the taking down of Confederate statues, and then there were those who supported the removals going to the museum.
They would say to promote unity amongst all the people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's history. You know, our children need to learn how we as a nation dealt with such matters. To take a walk in Lee Park, which, by the way, they have even changed that name. But we need to teach our young ones the truth, which our schools are masking. Anyhow, there were the infiltrators from Soros' funded groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, which is supposedly an anti-fascist group, which in my mind actually promotes fascism. But they infiltrated the protesters to start havoc and chaos, and it worked marvelously.
Well, you know, this is the devil's MO.
Oh, yes. Often covertly through various groups, and as we have discussed many times previously, through the Jesuits in disguise, infiltrating the churches to cause division, and it has worked. They also infiltrate the governments and the parties, and we see that really with the rhinos in the Republican Party, which is why not much can get done. You know, John McCain, mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham, yep. Even Bill Clinton, George Soros, the Pope, yes, even Hillary Clinton have close Jesuit ties.
And as well as the new French president, Macron.
That's right. And, of course, you know that our president has ties as well, but I must also add that sometimes Jesuits see the light and come out of it, like the Rivera guy who was unfortunately later poisoned, but he got the word out first, and we hope our president has distanced himself as well. Pray for that. Many others, especially in government, are connected, and college professors are Jesuit monitored, or at least attended Jesuit schools. You know, you can do your own homework. Just put a name in your favorite search engine and see if they have Jesuit ties and or went to a Jesuit school. And probably 4 out of 5 will. And, of course, this will continue until Jesus chains up Satan and rules the world himself.
You know, and we really are getting close to that.
Amen.
Okay, any updates on Israel?
Of course. There has been another recent Trump-Putin agreement in the Syrian war, and that is to only fight ISIS now and not Assad's Syrian army, which, of course, includes Iran's Revolutionary Guards. We haven't heard much about this because North Korea, who, by the way, is backing down now, has confiscated the airwaves. But remember that the United States and Saudi Arabia and even Israel were helping the Free Syrian Rebel Group to fight Assad's army, so to remove him from power because of their his connection with Iran. When that wasn't working very well, along came ISIS to help out. And yes, we and Saudi Arabia helped ISIS to go after Assad.
But, you know, that's a hush-hush.
Anyhow, there has been a change, and now they seriously want to concentrate on getting ISIS out of there.
So, how does this affect Israel?
Well, what is now happening is that Iran's army and its proxy armies, like Hezbollah, are on the move and parking themselves closer to Israel's borders because no one is stopping them, like the Free Syrian rebels were at least trying to do. But now they seem to be surrendering as losers.
Looks like Assad is staying.
Well, for now, but there are other ways to get rid of Assad. In fact, the UN is trying to bring him up on humanitarian charges. But for now, he stays as Iran's and Russia's ally.
Ezekiel 38 keeps coming into focus.
Yeah, like a lens on a camera.
Mm-hmm.
But let me add that Syria is not included in Ezekiel 38 and Isaiah 17, which says Damascus will become a heap of ruins. So his stay is probably short.
And lastly, our President Trump?
Yep. Yesterday he signed a memorandum that could result in severe trade penalties for China. He gave them a squeeze to apply more economic pressure to North Korea, and now they are listening. But hardly anyone noticed that last week, North Korea and Iran signed new military accords that covers the continuing transfer of nuclear and missile technology. The irony is that while the Security Council approved tough sanctions, economic sanctions for North Korea, Kim Jong-un managed to lay his hands on enough cash from Iran to keep his nuclear and missile programs moving forward. But here's the kicker. Some of that cash comes from the sanction relief that we granted Iran for signing Obama's 2015 nuclear deal.
Yeah, how great that is, huh? Well, I think most knew that Kimmy Boy wouldn't be that crazy to start a war.
I agree. But I did a little more research over the weekend, and I am pretty convinced that in the First Korean War of 1950, and although the history books say they invaded South Korea first, I now have concluded that disguised Southern infiltrators, remember again Satan's MO, actually went into North Korea first and prodded the North to enter the South so the blame could rest on their soldiers. Never lose sight of the fact that the global wicked elite, they want war and are planning on a World War III for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, mainly money and depopulation.
Yes, and when they're ready to act, they will take another fake scenario to blame the other guy. It's classic and done all the time. Oh, and one more thing. If you have been following the Debbie Wasserman Schultz IT investigation, here's another one down. The Florida federal prosecutor was recently shot dead. Imagine that.
Imagine that. All right, then. You can send your email questions by email I'm sorry, end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always needed, and any donation will automatically put you on our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and informative letters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, time to get spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we began to explain the season of introspection into oneself, and if you missed the last program, it is up on our webpage, but I will give you a quick review. Starting next week on Tuesday, the 40-day season called Teshuva, which means to repent and turn to a closer walk with the Lord, begins.
Yeah, on the Hebrew calendar, I think it's the first day of the sixth month called Elul.
You're right. And just so happens to start the day after a full solar eclipse will occur from west to east in the middle of the United States, with a partial eclipse if you live just north or south of its path, as we do. But Teshuvah always occurs the month before the possible resurrection / rapture. For obvious reasons, it's like a warning time, and God has often chosen this season to either reprimand his people or on occasion reward their obedience.
So this 40 days from Elul 1 continues to Tishri 10 or Yom Kippur.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this year, since it changes every year, it's going to end at sundown on September 30th. Remember this, that 10 days before that, before Yom Kippur, begins Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets, which is the birthday of creation and man, celebrated on their calendar called Tishrei 1 and 2.
So I think that makes this a very important time of year.
Hello. Mm-hmm. And so it is customary during the first 30 days to wish one a good judgment on Rosh Hashanah, especially if it turns out to be the day of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that if you've kind of forgotten the sin or forgot to ask for forgiveness from somebody, you could still get it right with God during the following days of awe, or the highest of the holy days that ends then on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, the Day of Atonement, I think it's called.
It's called. If you still failed to do that, they believed their name would be taken out of the Book of Life forever.
Not good.
Now, you got to remember, Hosea 12:10 says that we do learn from typology or pictures. So for those born after the cross, we learn a lot from this typology. For those not saved and therefore miss the rapture, they will enter the awesome days known as the tribulation and hopefully become a tribulation saint. But those who fail to repent by the time Jesus returns to the earth, 7 years later on a Yom Kippur, also the last day of Teshuvah, their name will not be in the Book of Life either, forever. Let's remember Romans 15:4. Honey, would you read that?
Okay. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
That's right.
Pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. So let's now look at the word that was written before for our learning that confirms what we are talking about. We talked last week how both Moses and later Jesus were in the wilderness mountains during the 40 days of Teshuvah. Moses brought back with him the second set of God's commandments on the Day of Atonement when God gave the Hebrews atonement for the sin of the calf idol. And by connecting the dots, right after Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness at the start of the 40 days of Teshuvah, not to repent, but to prepare for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, just 5 days after Yom Kippur on Feast of Tabernacles. He came to tabernacle amongst us, remember? And it was Jewish law that a man could not enter his ministry till the age of 30. And Jesus scrupulously adhered to it so we could learn from our roots. Again, all this was set up by God. He is just so very exact and precise in everything he has set forth to happen. So let's look at a few confirming scriptures. A great example of this is in Haggai chapter 1. You'll see that it begins by making sure the reader knows it is Elul 1, saying that it was on the first day of the sixth month. So by looking at the Hebrew calendar, you can know it was the first day of their season of Teshuvah. We'll see they truly needed to turn more toward God, for they knew of Him, but were not moving toward Him. Now think about that, as it might apply to you, to all of us. Do you know Him, but are comfortable staying where you are and not growing closer to Him? You know, have you heard the statement, if you're not going forward, it's the same as going backward? Nothing in His Word is there by accident. He purposely tells us what season it is. And most in the church, of course, don't recognize this because they refuse to grow closer to the Jewish Jesus to learn just even the basic tenets of our faith taught by our Jewish forefathers. And don't tell me Hebraic roots is not in the Bible. In fact, the entire writings of John's Gospel is surrounded by all the feasts. But let's move on. We are about to see in Haggai right off the bat how God purposely uses this time of the year to rebuke them. And by the way, He still does it today. If you research calamities around late August, September, and sometimes Teshuvah goes into October, you'll see how often unpleasant events occur. I think of 9/11, all the hurricanes, as in Katrina. And many natural disasters happen during this time, and God allows it. We know from history records that the handwriting on the wall, the fall of Babylon in Daniel chapter 5, happened during Teshuvah. So, here's what Haggai chapter 1 says. It starts off again right off the bat. It says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month. Okay, that's the first day of Teshuvah. The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and to the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, well, these people say that by the time, that the time is not come that the Lord's house should be built. And then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, but this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. In other words, get your act together. And then he continues with some education. Verse 6, the Lord says through Haggai, you have sown much, but bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. So in other words, he's saying, can you see I'm withholding your blessings? So then he tells them again, verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So he says it again. And again, it's during this season of deep introspection, the season of Teshuvah. It's important to understand that because it's coming on us again next week. But in verse 8, he says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. So here comes some more education. Verse 9. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you did bring it home, I blew it away. Notice he said, I blew it away. Wise is the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. You know, in other words, in today's era, they were caring more about themselves over God. And I see that today. Then in verse 10, he says, therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and all the labor of your hands. You know, I think they got it now. Because verse 12 says, then Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. So, finishing up here in verse 13. Then Haggai spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. And this was on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. So he's telling us that they did repent, and it was still in the season of Teshuvah. It's an important season. So let me point out that we can only see, we can also see, that God not only rebuked the Hebrews for their neglect in building his temple, but even more than that, we see within the context of Scripture some details about the condition of their hearts. You know, the cares of their own life being front and center instead of God. Again, that so applies to the church today. You know, Revelation 3, the Laodicean lazy Christians. Not socially, of course, but the condition of their hearts. They were probably quite social, like a lot of people are today. But they were lacking the passion to know Jesus more through his word, which contained his Jewish customs for learning more about him. Interesting that during the diaspora, Israel's land received little rain, not much growth of anything, like Jesus said when he cursed the fig tree, a symbol for Israel. But as soon as the Jews began returning back to their land, the rains came, and now it is a leading export of fruits and vegetables. The fig tree is blossoming again, and that is the number one sign that we are that generation to see his return. However, they are not really serving God, but one day they will again. So, Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let me leave you with the blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And also for next week, if you can read Ezekiel 8 and 9, you'll find it rewarding. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.